quarter past seven. I thought we'll be here till about quarter to eight, trying to around, get everything working. But no, we're okay.
Good.
Hello, welcome to the big show where we discuss all of the big stories in tech of the week. Joining me, absolutely fabulous panel. The noisy bastard top left is Muller, who's decided to get up and do something else.
My keyboard's come unplugged.
You've pulled a lead out. Jolly good, mate. How the devil are you, mate?
Me?
Yeah, do you want us to come back to you?
I just went out for a bit of a ride today. You know the River Ray?
Yes.
I cycled all the way to its source.
Where's that, in Shropshire then?
No, it's in Worcestershire.
Bloody hell.
It's not far from Northfield, to be honest. It was 11 miles from my house, so it's not a big river.
Oh, right. It's not exactly. Well, Worcestershire's, because that Worcester just encroaches into Bromsgrove, doesn't it? So Northfield, I guess, is quite close.
You could actually see the M5 from where I was standing by the source.
This is scintillating audio for people around the world who have no clue where Northfield is or Worcester.
I enjoyed it. It was a nice ride. The National Bike Network NC5 I rode, and I got all the way there. It was quite a heavy ride, though. It was all uphill, clearly, because it's up, you know. But it was a good ride. I enjoyed it today. I might try and do it again tomorrow, because I got lost a couple of times and missed the paths. Ended up on the wrong side of the hill.
I thought you missed the path.
I might try and go the right side of the hill.
I was hoping you said you missed the path and found the canal. No.
Have I cut out or something?
Oh, hopefully. next to him. Next to him is Jeff.
Ewan. That was fantastic. We could actually end the whole podcast right there, because there's just no way we can top that.
Where can we get a hold of you, Jeff?
Yes.
How's life, dude?
Life is going well, and it feels like a large weight has been lifted from my shoulders as of yesterday. And even though it's overcast and cool outside, I feel like it's bright and sunny.
Yeah. For those that are wondering what the euphemism is, we're not doing politics, but the world has breathed a sigh of relief that there's a new incumbent in the White House.
Yes.
I thought it was. So, I watched a bit of the coverage, and I thought it was really nice that Pence was there, not being a sore loser, keeping up some dignity for the Republicans. And he was good on the night when they had the riots and that kind of stuff. So good on you, Mike Pence. I think he's got a shot at president in the future if he lives long enough.
I don't think he does. But I think that it was a really nice gesture for him to be there. And to me, it was a clear indication that the control that Trump had over him, it's not there anymore.
No, that's good. But we're not doing politics. We don't do politics. Hence the reason. No. Hence the reason I took down Patrice's posts yesterday. How you doing, Patrice?
It's fine. Yeah, doing good. Big week. Busy week as well. Also for BTN, like a lot of changes.
Yeah, so we are streaming, thanks to you, at nearly real time.
Yeah, it's like, it is really, really nice. And also we have a new chat tool. So if you don't have an IRC chat, just go to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. Also a good thing, I think. Yeah, a lot of also small changes on the website. I fixed a couple things. I have some time for the weekend.
chat.britishtechnetwork.com.
Correct, yes.
Okay, not to be confused with britishtechnetwork.com/chat, which is where you go to get the links afterwards if you need to.
Correct, yes, exactly.
It's not confusing in the slightest.
No, totally.
Well done, Mrs. Superb job. The place is running smooth. I thought earlier on we had a bit of trouble with audio, but I realised it was my end. It was Wirecast being a pain in the arse. So, superb. Excellent work, mate. And we'll reap the rewards, I'm sure, come quiz time. Will you sit still, Muller, for God's sake?
Sorry. I've just found a little setting on the website called WebRTC Low Latency, and it stops the jittering.
Right. Thanks, mate. Could you try and find the setting on your chair that shuts it up? next to him, Rich, how you doing? Good.
I'm all right, thanks. I'm all right. I'm descending into a period of lockdown here, but but I'll get over it. It wasn't too bad last time.
Oh, I shaved mine in March, April.
I'm not that brave.
I took it back to the, well, no, I just figured like it's going to grow. So I took it back to the wood, and sure enough, guess what? It grew, and I've had it cut again since. So
that's the bit I actually worry about. Is it? I'm worried if I shave it all off, it's just going to decide, no, if you feel that way about me, I'm not coming back. And so I'm not pushing.
I'm no doctor and no biologist, but I'm pretty sure that's not the way hair works. It doesn't have an opinion.
I think you might be right. I think you're right. I'm not tempting fate like that.
All I can say is if hair has got an opinion, Muller must have really pissed his off.
Got the nose hair, though.
Oh, mate, that's a Bruce Willis quote. God's way of reminding the human is he takes the hair off your head and shoves it out your nose and ears.
Oh, God, it's terrible.
It is. It is.
I mean, to go to one of them Turkish barbers that put the things up your nose.
I shave my nose and ears more than I shave my face these days. Oh, my God. If we all get onto the subject of farting, that'll be it. All the women listeners are gone for a start. Not that they're ready to start with anyway. The Week in Tech, all the big shiz that's gone on, all the happenings, what there has been. Has anyone got a story to start us off?
Yep.
Patrice, ladies first.
Give me a second. We're not going to talk politics, but I'm...
Are you going to post the
story? The story is more about the accessibility part. So because I think accessibility is an important topic and so many websites don't pay attention to it. The reason why we're talking about it is that the White House website now finally has one accessibility mode. So, like,
was that a white
contrast?
Was that a white supremacist thing?
No.
No. So the White House didn't have dark mode because there was a fascist in there.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. I think it was just something that those people that were in charge of the website didn't think about. Wasn't at their forefront. It's fine.
I love
different
the
priorities. It was literally one of the first things the new administration did. They put that up. They put up also a statement for it. Except all politics aside, I think this is very important, and this should spread to more websites.
Do you know what? If Biden has any clue what dark mode is, I'm so impressed. He goes in there, he says, right, fellas, first thing we're going to do, sign back up to the Paris Accord. Second thing, dark mode on the website. Are we clear? Off you go. If he said that, how impressed are you lot?
I mean, it's possible. I don't know.
It's possible. It's quite possible Joe Biden's second executive order was to enable dark mode.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he made that order before he was sworn in.
Yeah.
Because everything happened so fast with the website.
Yeah. It was up like 5-10 minutes after he was sworn in.
And the 1776 initiative page was gone immediately. And there's a comment in the source code for the website says, you know, hey, if you found this, we're looking for people like you to come work for the Biden administration.
What?
So, yeah, there's just all kinds of stuff that was happening with that site.
Yeah.
But as I said, like, I think this should, in general, spread to more sites. Accessibility, like, a lot of people don't think about it because it's not something that they have to deal with too much. I mean, if you get older, maybe a little bit with like larger text and so on, but most browsers cover that relatively well. But it is like, I saw on Twitter, like, I follow quite a few people who are in that area and actually need it, or like even at Apple are working that area, and they were very happy about that, because it just shows care in general, and it helps. Like, it's not something that, oh, it's nice to have. It actually allows those people to have access to that information.
I'm just
the websites properly.
I'm joking aside about fascists. I am genuinely intrigued though about the timing. Because you would have thought, are the website administrators the same people, or is there a whole new band of website administrators brought in by Biden that started that day and all the old websites have left back doors for themselves and gone with Trump?
I would suspect that in the background there are a lot of people that stayed. Like stayed probably across multiple organizations.
So I don't get the significance of the timing.
But the people who were in charge of the website, like like kind of the managers of that team, they probably got switched out. I mean, all the content got switched out, or most of it. So there have been teams working on this for the last couple of weeks at least.
Mm-hmm.
Content I can understand, but things like enabling dark mode, I don't. I, unless that's come through as an executive order from Biden's PR team.
Yeah, that could very well be, or the people who were put in charge of the whole media site and website included. For them, it was an important topic, and they said, okay, this is what we stand for, and they did it, and they ordered it, and then like the other people executed on it.
Do you run the risk of I mean, I'm just thinking about why no one would ever give a toss about enabling accessibility features. And do you think if you're a government website, there's a part of you that's like, well, we're big enough and people will come to us anyway, regardless of whether we satisfy a UX experience that's desirable rather than essential?
I think it's probably more the same thing that every organization has, big and small, priorities and people not, like, people being able to not thinking about it. Yeah. Because I know, I mean, I've worked with the US government. I know how much, on some level, they pay attention to accessibility. And, like, we couldn't work with them at all and provide products at all if our products weren't accessible. But that was a decision that was made somewhere in the healthcare department.
Yeah, but not their own. Their own sites.
Exactly,
yeah.
But it's the same thing. Like, do as I say, not as I do.
Anyone else got
anything? I don't think they just didn't think they had to do it.
I think the necessity for accessibility on a website is even higher for the government, because these are resources for the citizens in your country, and those resources should be available to everyone. So dark mode, alt tags everywhere, excuse me, easy navigation for visually impaired, and then even things like click here for the Spanish version of the site. And I think that's all very important stuff. So I'm glad to see it's happening now. I think it was just either very low or non-existent priority over the past several years.
Yeah,
I've just gone to gov.uk to see what we have, and the answer is absolutely nothing whatsoever. It's actually, I think it's lots of white text on black backgrounds. It's probably not bad from an accessibility point of view as it stands, but there's certainly nothing clever like dark mode.
We've had other things to deal with in the last few hours or weeks, I suppose, so to cut them some slack.
I suppose so.
It's like stop 1,500 people a day dying, change the website so it can do dark mode.
Well, the Americans have had that to deal with as well.
And they've not really dealt with the COVID problem, though, at all, have they?
That's true. No, we strike that one off the list. We'll do the website.
Yeah. We can do the website because we're not giving the stuff about the population. Nice to see one of Biden's first tweets as well is it's patriotic to now wear a mask.
Yes.
He's got
using POTUS.
Yeah, that was using POTUS.
Yeah, they were switching over.
I'll have a look at that.
But by the way, I checked the gov.uk page. It does have some, at least some labels in there. That, I mean, the descriptions aren't great, but it's minimally accessible, I would say.
I'm surprised it's not still running on HTML3 using tables. So
you should be very careful, because we all know someone who did the is the driving license bit and the passport bit. It's done by someone that I know, you and may know. I'm not going to mention his name. No, you slagged it.
Yeah, it does mention. I haven't
slagged anyone off. That's you.
I still, so
there you go.
I'm going to say things like
mention Netscape.
The MOT. I was going to mention Netscape actually. Yeah. The MOT bit on the website works brilliantly. If you type in, when's the MOT due on your car, and you just type your number plate in, it tells you straight away. It's public information. It's really, really easy. I've used that several times when I was scared, a bit twitchy, that my MOT was about to run out. Excellent. So if you're listening, the bloke that did it, ta.
I'll let you know who it was later.
Was it PW?
He doesn't come on this network. You may know.
Okay.
He works on the passport. So he's a Scotsman.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Okay. Fair enough. Doesn't matter. Well done. If you did.
I just found a funny thing. It says at the end of the gov.uk page, thanks, Martha.
Thanks what?
Martha.
Oh, Martha.
I don't know.
did Martha do a bit of proofreading or something on the code?
Probably.
Well, we've got a title. Thanks, Martha.
Yeah, cheers to Martha. Well done,
you've got
Martha.
You've got to get me a screen capture of that and send it over, Patrice, so I can use it as the art.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Martha. And if you're Martha, get in touch.
Yeah, we would like to know.
We want you on the show because you're famous now.
She's probably Scottish.
Oh, stop it. If it's the person I'm thinking of, there's no bad blood. It's just he had an extra kid and didn't come on anymore. Good story, man.
No, he's never been on this network.
Oh, right, okay.
Some of you might know, though.
Okay. Tell me after. Anyone else got a story? Good story, Trace. Jeff G, straight in. Look at that. Google blocks third-party browsers.
Okay, so what they're blocking are APIs that, excuse me, what they will be blocking, because it starts in March, are APIs that they previously had made available to third parties. So meaning all of these developers that are making their own browsers based on Chromium. So they could do bookmark syncing, excuse me, and I think the Google call feature is going to get blocked as well. So there's a lot, well, not a lot, all of the non-Chrome versions of the Chromium web browser are going to lose a lot of functionality come March. And I look at this and I think, well, first, it sucks that they gave all of these developers access to this several years ago, and now are saying, never mind. And then also, well, that just sounds like Google.
Yeah, I mean, Chrome's... there was a story. Who was it? Put something in the Slack room about Chrome installing a piece of software. You didn't get to us.
It was just like, I remember that.
And it tracks you regardless of where you go, and you can't stop it installing it. And it's like, you know, tough shit. It's here. I can't remember who it was putting in, but I immediately, after reading that, just completely uninstalled Chrome. But I don't know if it does it in the third-party browsers. I don't think it does. It's only Google Chrome that does it.
It's only Google Chrome,
yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why I switched over to Microsoft Edge when it became not a beta thingy anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm on Edge now, and Safari. Those are the only two I use.
How is Edge? I haven't really...
Flies.
It's good. It's nice.
Love it. Yeah. Feels really, really good. The searches are Bing-based, so you get a different response than if you do a standard Google search.
But you can go and change that in the settings.
Well, no, I've effectively got a Google search on Safari and a Bing search on Edge, and I get different results, so it's happy days. Plus, also, when you look for files, for images... If you look for images on Chrome, you put large images in, and you can put extra large images in for Edge as well. And you do get some images that are bigger than just large, if you know what I mean.
Nice.
So I find it a good experience, I have to say. And it's lovely on Mac. It's fast as hell. And Safari's fast. Safari is blistering now on Mac. Really, really good experience.
Yeah, compared to standard Chrome, it's like night and day.
So you can say compared to Netscape then or something?
Netscape. I don't know how Chrome compares to Netscape.
I watched more porn on Netscape.
Well, to be fair, who didn't?
It wasn't as smooth, admittedly, but...
Yeah, and a lot of it was ASCII character-based, right?
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Did it load up line by line?
25 minutes to load.
Yep.
Next frame.
Yeah. So how many Chromium-based browsers are going to go away?
I don't think they're going to go away. I think, I mean, especially the bigger ones like Opera, I think, and Edge, they're going to stick around because they don't need the Google thing, really. Like, especially Microsoft with Edge. I don't think they care about Chrome Sync.
I don't think they care about Chrome Sync as well. If anything, you'll probably find there's an Outlook OneDrive kind of featurette going to be in there or extension of it.
Exactly.
I think there actually, now that you mention that, I think there's already something Edge for doing the syncing.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think the only people that are bothered about Chrome Sync are Google Sync is Google.
Yeah, I mean, I can see like maybe like a really small niche browser somewhere that like the only feature is it's not Chrome, but it works like Chrome. Kind of, I could see that them struggling a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I found it a pain in Chrome when you'd signed in as British Tech Network for our account there, and then you automatically then are signed into YouTube. But if you say actually I want to go to my other YouTube account and you signed out, it would sign you out of the browser as well as, and it was a pain in the arse then because you're like actually I want to view stuff as British Tech Network, but I want to post as you and rank it. And it just never did. It was all it was interested in was just having one instance. So if I could sign, if they don't do syncing, that means that when I sign into YouTube on Edge, I'll stay signed into YouTube on Edge potentially. So, that's a positive. I won't be my Google instance everywhere at that point.
Nice.
It could be. I might be thrashing at it and spitting and swearing in about a month's time, but...
Yeah, we'll know after March 15th.
Yeah. and, of course, Flash died today, didn't it? Finally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chrome pushed out an update that doesn't include it anymore. It's gone. Yeah.
No, all finished and done. And dandy.
good thing we switched away.
I'd like to say I'm missing it, but I'm not.
Does that mean 90% of all the porn sites are down?
No, the porn site switched off of Flash years ago.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I mean, the second one is good because of mobile.
So why do they keep asking me to update my Flash? I'm sorry.
Oh, Muller's made a joke out of it to make it sound like it's not real, but it is.
bless your heart.
You can't view this horrific content without updates to your Flash system. Unfortunately, Google has lost support for Flash, therefore, tough shit, Muller.
That's what it says.
Back to going down the news agents and getting yourself a copy of Mayfair.
That's me one hand. That's me other hand.
Moving on. Jesus. And you know what? There's one thing that's consistent about Muller. It's the regret that I have in asking him to come on the show after about 15 minutes. Oh, good story, mate. Muller, Rich, got a story for us?
Yeah, I have. There you go.
Oh, Amazon.
Amazon. Mm. And I need to make it through this entire story without saying the other Amazon-associated A word.
A lady.
Just yes. A lady.
She's sat right in front of me and she's waiting for me to slip up. So this is the news that Amazon is opening up its AI technology to other companies and allowing them to use it and build their own voice assistants on top of it, which is actually quite a consistent Amazon-y thing to do mm-hmm. now I think about it. We've built this thing. Now would you like to put your name on it and call yours? And so they're doing it with car manufacturers now, which I'm quite looking forward to. I would love to be able to talk to my car or, more importantly, have my car talk back to me. And if they could get a Knight Rider voice in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's really all we need.
Fingers crossed.
I mean, you want to talk to your car and your car actually understanding you. That's the point, right? Because, I mean, I think Ford did that years ago. There have been, like, solutions like that. They just never worked. I think BMW as well. Like, there's, like, voice something in almost every modern car. Just doesn't work. So
yeah. It does. I've got the Microsoft one in my car, and it works fine.
Well, that's because it's Microsoft.
It does work.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the Siri experience like in CarPlay? Is that included in it or not?
Yeah, it is, and it works really well. I mean,
because Siri doesn't work really well on the phone.
Yeah, Siri
works surprisingly well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's fairly limited what you can do, but.
Mm. Go on, Rich.
Of the three sort of voice assistant things that are around at the moment, I find Siri's by far the worst.
Easily.
And it's sort of a toss-up between Amazon and Google at the moment. I've got both things in the house in different rooms. There are advantages and disadvantages to both. I don't know which is better.
I think Google's
I have
better.
The Google one takes the piss out of me. That's definitely a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I have all three in my house, and I will disagree with the notion that the Yes Lady is far worse than the others. I think they're all basically on equal footing, and they all have strong points and weak points, and they're all incredibly frustrating, and it's just ridiculous that after as much time as we've had, and especially with as much of a lead as Apple had with S Lady, that to this day, I have to think about what it is that I want to say and then decide which of the voice assistants would be appropriate to give that request to.
See, that's too much thought process. That's way too much thought process for it. You should be able to use
it. Yeah, it shouldn't be like that. But putting A Lady in the car, I mean, they've been field testing this for a couple years now. That when they came out with the little A Lady box that plugs in your car, they're what, like $30 or something.
Yeah, I signed myself up for that as a tester, and I backed away from it when it came, even though they gave it me at 50% off.
I signed up as a tester and then completely forgot about it. And so I got one and I put it in my car and used it some, and then realized because of the way it has to work, it doesn't make sense to use it because you have to plug it into your phone or connect it to your phone anyhow, which already has a voice control thing. So it wasn't giving me anything extra that beyond what I already had with just talking to my iPhone in the car.
Yeah, I really would love to have the Echo service in the car, without a doubt. It's the one thing that really is missing. It doesn't. I've got Reverb on the phone, and that works okay. But you've got to hold the thing down, so you've got to open the app. So it's not like you can use it safely when you're driving. I'd love to be able to, you know, go on a long journey, come back and think, oh, I've got to go to the office, unlock the office and take off the alarm and also then switch the lights on for when I get here or switch the radiators on when I'm an hour away or something like that, so there's a bit of heat in the place. I'd really love that facility. And if that was built into the car, even better. Mm-hmm. The only thing I'd like it to be built into the iPhone and let me choose that as a voice assistant and get rid of Siri, because Siri is still sending me to cinemas and supermarkets when I ask it for other information. So I don't know.
I mean, Amazon has experience of like building Alexa into devices. Like, this is not the first device. I mean, I had an Echo. I deactivated it because I didn't need Alexa. But the Echo Bee that I had in my house, like, that one had Alexa built in.
So, I'm all built into Echo. I've got is about turning lights on and off and radiators on and off, and it's fantastic. You wake up in the morning, the alarm goes off next to you. A Lady, turn on the studio radiators. By the time I'm showered and ready, the place is piping hot.
You know, Ewan, You may actually like having that little in the car echo thing.
I definitely would.
Yeah, it's and for me, it just wasn't giving me more than what I was already getting in the car.
But you said you have to plug it in, so do you need an aux socket for it to work?
It can do Bluetooth as well.
Right, okay. But then my phone's doing Bluetooth as well.
Yeah, and it's okay.
Where's it getting its connectivity to the servers, etc.? Is it got its own chip?
Your phone.
It uses the phone,
or for the data connection.
Yeah. I might buy one. I don't know. Because, if it's going to come built into the car, then that's going to be a car, you know, two generations down the line from where I'm currently at. I'd probably have to buy it.
They're not talking about building Alexa directly into the car either. That's going to be, it'll be called Jeff or something.
It'll be its own service, but it's based on Alexa. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that bothers me about that is the fact that if the car, because cars are embracing Apple Play quite heavily now, or CarPlay rather. So CarPlay is becoming ubiquitous in new models. And if it's going to be an either or, I'm a bit pissed off at that, because, you know, they should get their act together and let people choose. Because people are invested in certain devices that are HomeKit based and certain devices that are Alexa based. And to actually, you know, do that and force people to choose, you know, and if you're saying I'd like to buy this Renault, but I can't buy it because they do CarPlay and I want the A-Lady version, that's crap.
Yeah, I mean, most cars I've seen, they actually do both now, because it's not like, it's not that difficult to do. They support Android Auto and CarPlay at least.
At CES 2021, Amazon would bring Alexa to Lamborghini and Rivian vehicles. I've only heard of one of those brands, and it's not
Rivian. Oh, Rivian. No, it's not.
I'm getting one of these in my next Lambo.
Have you not watched the Scotsman drive up from the bottom of South Africa, not South America, up to, Los Angeles? They used two Rivians and two electric Harley Davidsons. It's excellent.
Ewan McGregor.
Oh,
Charlie Borman.
Wasn't that the Apple TV Plus show?
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, that's the that one, and Mr. Lasso is the only ones I've enjoyed.
So I just looked up Rivian.
They're not that expensive. About $80,000, I think.
You can tell who the retired copper is. Jesus.
They're kind of ugly.
Look at him. He's got his lair behind him with robotics going on. They're kind of ugly.
Yeah, these are really hideous, ugly cars. The Rivian.
No, they're not. They're just
look at the front of those. That's just disgusting.
Have you seen the electric car show? The Fully Charged. They had an interview with the Rivian boss, and the machine. They got two cars now, and they're brilliant, absolutely brilliant. They got sleeping quarters. You can actually sleep in the one. It actually opens up at the back, and you can sleep in it.
No, the R1T from the back looks lovely, but the R1S from the front looks like a bag of spanners.
It's the front.
It looks
isn't
like
it?
A cartoon character.
It does. It's a face, isn't it?
Yeah.
The 1970s French shit series.
So this is an American car. Never heard of the company in my life.
They're based near you, to be honest.
Well, look, there's a girl drawing on it, for Christ's sake.
They're about half a continent away from me.
You park your car for too long, you come back, some girls put a mural on it. And it's like you didn't bother to wait very long, because she's brought a stool. She's been there for 2.5 hours. Oh, there's a video. Hang on, here we go. Oh, it's a dude talking.
The show, by the way, was called Long Way Up.
That's it. Yeah. Have a look up Fully Charged, though. I'll try and post it in the Slack room later, where they.
That front is horrific.
Variable probability success. You need 1,000 engineers. your position. Your first dollar of your revenue comes after spending $3 billion.
Our first dollar of revenue comes after we spent $3 billion.
They'll sell these things, Will. If you run out of charge, you can hook yourself up to a lorry and he can tow you for a mile and get you started again. They're really impressive vehicles.
The wrong answer is to tell people that want SUVs and trucks that they have to drive really small electric cars. The right answer is to say, drive the vehicle that you want. Oh, by the way, this now has a path to carbon zero. The goal is to build an adventure-oriented vehicle and rethink the truck and SUV space.
It looks like, so you saw them there doing the clay model. It looks like they were doing the clay model and got to the front and they ran out of clay.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, let's stop here.
Yeah. What have we got? We got that one that we made earlier that we were going to throw out. Yeah, use that. No one will know. It'll be fine.
Muller, I love how you think that this is near me. It's Plymouth, Michigan, so that's at least a two-day drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's nearer to you than it is to him.
True. Yeah.
That's true.
In the race to get to one of these, you win, Jeff.
Unless Muller gets on an airplane.
Yeah, mate, they're never going to give him a visa.
True. Yeah, there's that.
Sends in his Etza thing, and it's like, you're having a laugh. Good story. Bad car?
No, they're not. No, I'll try and post that.
I'm sure they're excellent cars.
I put the link in. I think that's the one.
Fugly as hell on the front.
Is that the one for the car show?
Oh, fully charged.
Fully charged inside the room.
Yeah, that's...
absolutely brilliant.
Probably looks good.
They might be ugly, but they're brilliant.
Bob, if you're listening, because he used to come on this show. He used to come on the big show and the Mac show. Right, Muller, you got a story?
I've got no link. Mine's a bit of a rant, actually, which may trigger a few people, hopefully.
Okay.
I've had loads and loads of calls recently from these Indian scam warehouses where they phone you up at all times of the night. In fact, I've even started turning my phone off in the night because you get woken up at silly hours. Saying they're from the IRS or the tax or they're going to shut you down because you're under investigation or you, Amazon, you've not paid your bill. And I'm just wondering why in the UK, why our telecom companies aren't doing more to combat this. Because I know the US are, and the US mark them as scam calls. Jeff might be around that. And there's a lot more work being done in the US to stop these scammers getting through to our networks. And I am getting absolutely sick and tired of it. I've already moaned at Virgin, and they've basically said there's nothing they can do. And there should be something they can do. They should be able to note that these calls are coming from, hundreds of calls coming from the same area, same IP or same something, and be able to block them or at least warn people that these are scammers.
They're spoofing the phone numbers. So they can be coming from anywhere, and the phone carriers, they can't really tell because it's just a spoofed phone number. So unless it's a spoofed number that's in a database where they're like, yeah, the only thing this is ever used for is scamming, then good luck getting it blocked. I recommend installing Hiya on your phone. And if you know that you're not going to be getting calls from people that you don't already have in your address book, turn on the thing where it just sends everyone else to voicemail.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting these on your landline or your
landline and mobile? Unfortunately, I've got to I'm a witness in a court case soon, so I can't do that because obviously the police use VoIP. And also, I bought some kit recently, and the company had phoned me to say it was ready to pick up. And I kept missing these calls and going, why did I miss this call? I was actually sitting in front of the phone at the time, and I realised I turned that setting off. Virgin said they can turn my, if it doesn't give a phone number, they can turn it off. But that's another reason, is that my doctor's uses VoIP, the hospital's use VoIP here. obviously the court system does, a lot of government systems do.
Everything uses VoIP, dude. There's no cable lines anymore. Everything's VoIP.
Yep.
I know when I was in the police, if I got a rejected call, I'd have to dial a couple of numbers before I post
the number. ISDN is switched off next week, isn't it?
Say again.
ISDN is switched off next week. I don't think there's anyone still on it, but ISDN is switched off. If you're on Virgin, mate, you're on VoIP anyway. There is no cable anymore.
The entire global network works on VoIP nowadays. Like, even if you're going through a landline, it ultimately is VoIP.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the thing is, I watched a YouTube video for about 12 months ago that American telecom companies are marking possible scam. Mm-hmm. And at least that will be something. I mean, I'm turning the phones off at night now because I'm sick of being woken up. I mean, I don't get up now. It's about midday or something.
I think the cell carriers in the U.S. are almost exclusively all using Hiya for that tagging.
Mm-hmm.
Are you registered with the telephone preference service?
Yeah, but if you're a con man, you don't listen to that, do you?
No, but
you're already breaking the law.
If you can extract a phone number,
that only stops.
Then you can submit it.
Yeah, proper company. So you may actually want to speak to. Mm.
The ones
I want to stop are these stupid. I mean, you probably all heard them. This is Amazon. Dial one. You haven't paid your bill. I'm from the NSA. You haven't. We're going to shut down your NI number because there's been some suspicious activity on it, or lots of things.
One thing a lot of people might not know, the number you get presented might not actually be the number that has been used.
Yeah.
Because that is something that you can actually send. That's what a lot of like call centers use, so that you're not calling the actual number of the line that they use, but you're calling the, like, whatever. The service number.
Yep. When used legitimately, cool. When not, that's
spoofing. That's the problem. That's the problem. Yeah. It wasn't supposed to be used that way.
But of course it is.
Mm-hmm. It's like Mueller, email addresses. Same thing.
Mueller, if it's any consolation, the number of scam and spam phone calls that I get weekly is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And this is even insane. With Hiya installed on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I moved to the US, I wasn't used to that. Like, there were spam calls in Germany, but it wasn't super frequent, and like, it was going nonstop.
I don't really get me.
Yeah.
I've had a couple a day. It gets quiet, and then they go, hi. And you go, hello. And then you realize it's actually an automated message. It's not a... And just hang up.
Yeah.
Well, I've had a few scam texts as well, but I know people that fell for them, and it's. I mean, I've left three. Well, Ewan knows I left three, and I had one from three going. Well, purporting me from three, saying you're not paid your bill, I'm going to cut you off. And I'm thinking, not on three. So I contacted three and go, did you send this? No. Oh, by the way, you owe me some money. Yeah, we'll refund it to you then. So I just got some money out of it.
All right. The funniest spam call I've seen, like, personally, was my manager, like, in the US. He was a German, and, like, his business, like, we were in a meeting, his business phone went off. He picked it up, and you could hear, hi, this is, and he was, nope, and dropped it. And it was, like, in this dry German thing. I was like, nope. we were laughing. It was so funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I did have one guy rang me from an insurance company saying, I've heard Gabby, you've had an accident in the last 3 months or last 3 years. And I just went F off and put the phone down. And he rang back and he said, I know who you are. I know where you live. And I'm going to come around and slice you up. I was like,
wow.
And I was like, yeah, okay. Because he read my address out, so he knew who I was and where I lived. And I went, does your company record phone calls? And just went quiet. because you always get that message about we record phone calls for the purposes of training. Mm. Did your company write and went quiet? And then I thought, I better go down the police. So I went down the police and reported it. Mm. I got a number for him, though.
I think there's something that, that I think I definitely think there's we should do more to do it to block these. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a way to do it. I mean, they're all coming. I mean, 90% of the ones I'm getting are from India.
Paul Wheatley had one where a guy said, we've got a problem with your windows. And Paul Wheatley had him on the phone for half an hour before the bloke realised that Paul Wheatley was actually opening the windows in his house. Can you open your window? Yep, sure. Okay, well, now what? So what are you seeing in front of you? Well, the window. Okay. And he had him for half an hour before the bloke realised that he'd actually physically opened a window and was doing stuff with a window in his house.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was winter, though, so he's in Scotland, so it's cold.
Yeah.
I had a friend that when she got calls like that, you know, like they want to do the sell you something or we need to get information from you so that we don't have to shut down your Social Security account or whatever. And she'd say, oh, this sounds really important. Hold on. I need to get a pencil and some paper. And she'd set the phone down and just leave it. Like, never go back.
Yeah.
Every now and then she'd pick up the phone. Wow, they've been waiting for 10 minutes. And, yeah.
No. You'd like to say something appropriate, but inappropriate, you know, to piss people off. But then that'll come back and haunt you, don't it? You know, oh, they said this and you said that. And then there'll be a thing on Twitter or something that, that you said this. And you're like, oh, my God, I did, yeah, but. Oops, maybe I shouldn't. No. Best stay out of it, eh? Just hang up.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. A lovely message from Paul Wright today. And Paul has written a blog. If you go to our blog on BritishTechNetwork.com, he's written a blog about how TSO has helped him with his personal sites and how he's utilize their services. Really good article. Well done, Righty Boy. Hope you can come back on the show soon. Please support them. They look after us. They're really keen to support us. We've got a lovely message from them today replying to Paul saying it's a pleasure. You know, we really enjoy supporting the network. They are committed to us and they are keeping us on the air. You must, if you like listening to our shows, you must get on the socials and say thanks at TSO Host and at iMenMax for supporting at British Tech. And thanks to Rich this week who did that and a couple of others. Superb. That's all they want, brand recognition. You don't have to buy stuff off them. You just have to give them the brand recognition. That's as simple as it is. If you can't give us 10 seconds of your time, I ain't asking for money off you. If you can't give us 10 seconds of your time to just say well done for them supporting us, then I don't know what is. And iMen Max are the other people who support us. They are superb. We love them to bits. If anything you've got has got an Apple logo on it, then they will repair it. If you would like a new phone, so my lad has decided he would like a new phone, and you're getting paid at the end of the month, and he said, can I have it early? No. You've got to earn your money, then you pay for it. No credit, mate. And Mo at iMen Max dropped it round today, but he's not getting it until he gets the money. Okay, thanks Mo, but and he pays him for it. So refurbished 10R, £420, including a case and a screen protector. So not bad at all. They've got refurbished equipment. They've got some old equipment that has had an upgrade. And if you've got any old tech, they're running a thing at the moment where they're giving it to a charity called Free at Last here in Birmingham, or they're selling it and then giving the proceeds to Free at Last for upgrade to tech poverty. So please support them because they're a really worthwhile company and they're great guys as well. They're good friends of the network. They're very touchable to us. When we get the lockdown lifted, they'll be coming to do a show, you know, the Max show and the big show from here one Friday. So it should be a good fun time. And if you would like an iMen Max charger with two extra USB ports, so as long as you don't exceed 3.5 volts, then you can, or amps rather, then you can do three devices. Wireless charger from them, or you would like a mug, an iMen Max mug, then you can get them. We've got two mugs to give away, and we've got three of the wireless chargers. Okay, so all you've got to do is answer a simple question and tell me what's the Christian names of the four people who make up Iron Men Max. And if you're struggling, go and have a listen to the Christmas show, because they're all mentioned on there. Okay, the four people who make up Iron Men Max. Send that to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, and you could win yourself an Iron Men Max mug or wireless charger. Simple as that. Plenty to give away. And we might do that a bit more regularly as well as we go forward. Right, time for your cool thing. Start us off, Mr. Muller.
Oh, I posted it already. Do you want me to post it again?
You didn't read the fact that I can't open it.
Okay, I'll send it back into the network. Yeah, it's a podcast, Evil Genius with Russell Kay. It's basically a podcast where they discuss people like, well, anyone from history, and they decide whether they're evil or genius. It's very black and white. There's no grey area. So there's some people who you may know from history that you maybe think they were good, and maybe decide that they weren't. But, you know, it's as long as you can take it with a pinch of salt, well worth a listen. Quite funny.
I love the fact
that... Not very woke.
I love the fact that the Karl Marx episode has got marks out of 10.
There's some people that I've listened about that, you know, you think they've been a shoo-in for being genius, and they've been like Mother Teresa. I won't spoil it, but she was marked down.
Oh, no. But, I mean, you look at the top of the list there is Malcolm X, and the Spike Lee movie that they made about his life, it didn't show him to be a saint in the slightest. He'd had some serious issues. And Nelson Mandela had done an awful lot of terrorist activities. He'd blown people up and stuff like that. So there's quite a lot of them and no saints.
Oh, his favourite was putting tyres around people, wasn't it, and setting fire to them?
Who are we talking about, just for the purposes of libel?
The bloke from South Africa.
Nelson Mandela.
That was the ANC's favourite way of dealing with people that were not on their side. Put the tyres round, a bit of petrol, let them go.
Yeah, this looks good. I'm going to have a go at... Whitney Houston comes in. Yeah, Bernard Manning.
Bernard Manning, I mean, he did an awful lot of charity work, but obviously he's got his views on race were a bit on the fruity side.
Bloody awful. Massive racist.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we're talking 70s. When I was 70s, you laughed at Bernard Manning. You listen to him now and you go, ooh.
Bristol Harbour racist. No.
But yeah, it's a
good pick. I'll enjoy. I'm going to listen to that because I've... I'm going to enjoy that quite a lot, I think, hearing opinions.
Sounds almost like a robot or not.
It's very, all the guests sometimes go, well, I don't want to say they're evil, but they're not a genius. But he goes, it's evil or genius. You take the point.
No, at least, well, no, because you could be an evil genius, can't you? So you can't, you could have both. No, because it's evil or saint, but
not in this bloody podcast. It's either evil or you're a genius. Genius meaning good.
Right, anyway, okay. That's a bit of fun. Genius doesn't mean good.
Well, no, but I mean, it's a bit of fun.
I would suggest that quite a lot of these people are geniuses. Probably very high IQs. Mm. But not particularly good. Evil or good would be the better.
Good or bad, shouldn't they, really?
Good or bad. You know.
Yeah, but evil genius has a nice ring to it.
It does. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, what have you got for us?
I have an app for you today, and it's called PullTube. It's a Mac app, and what it does is it makes it easy for you to download video content from a bunch of different services and then just have the video file on your computer. And for me... This is nice because there's some animators who have their content on Vimeo, and I've paid for it. But the only way that I can watch what I paid for is by bringing up Vimeo in a web browser and then watching it. And I'd much rather just have access to the content so that I can watch it when I want, like from my couch. So
good.
PulTube makes it easy for me to do that. You can also do some very basic editing, you know, just like trimming clips. And, you know, it's just a simple little app that's designed to do this one thing for you. You can also gang up videos. So, like, you can have a bunch of URLs and say, download all this stuff at once. And it's $15. Also, it's in SetApp.
Yeah, that's a good thing. SetApp's brilliant. We love them. But the other thing that's nice is you tend to find with them, because the sites cycle their security to try and upset apps. And if you're a subscriber to SetApp, you've got Downy as well as. So if one's not working, the other one probably will.
Mm-hmm.
Good pick, mate.
Yeah.
I'll be downloading that.
I've used
that
Downy
today.
Before, too.
Yeah, and no.
Right now, I'm leaning towards using PulTube all the time.
Yeah, I'll get that down as well. So I've got both running. Superb. Thank you, mate. Patrice, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I got a product from a company that you wouldn't expect. We all know Anker as the maker of like anything charging, anything cable. But how many of you know that Anker actually makes audio products? They have I think it might either be a separate company or they acquired it, a company called Soundcore. I couldn't pick this before because it was a Christmas present for my oldest daughter. But the Anker Soundcore Q10 are surprisingly good headphones. My family was surprised. They actually all want the Q10 now, because I mean it's $40. It does everything you need. Like it's a wireless headphone. It's comfortable. It is, from what I've heard, good quality. Good audio quality, and it actually, I mean, it's not noise cancelling. They actually have I think $70 version, the Q30, that is noise cancelling. This one doesn't, but it isolates pretty well. So for $40, a really good set of headphones, can't go wrong there. So yeah, they also have speakers and stuff, so if you're interested. And I mean, we know Anker, so.
I have some of the Soundcore wireless earbuds, and they're fantastic, mm-hmm. especially for the money. Yeah. But yeah, they've been in my pocket for a year now.
And there's some good deals at the moment. If you go to the Amazon in the UK, the Q20s with active noise cancelling are £41.60.
Nice.
£49.99. So for only a couple of quid extra, you're getting the noise cancelling.
Very nice.
They look very good.
Yeah, they're good. They come in three colors. I mean, the one I linked to is like the black and red. Like, looks almost like the like four or five times more expensive Beats. I mean, yeah. They do noise cancellation, but they're not that much better. Or like in like a really nice purple. Actually, I like that purple.
There's a whole lot.
And, I mean, black if you want to.
A whole series of hard shell cases that you can get for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Q10s.
Great for the price.
Oh, and they come in iPhone 12 matching blue.
They do.
Oh, you just cost me 50 quid.
55 quid for the, 56 quid for the blue. Only 51 quid for the silver. And they don't do the red in the Q20s.
Go. Actually, don't pay £50. Go £80 and you can have the noise cancelling ones.
They have two noise cancelling versions. There's a newer version that is 80 that is slightly better. That's the Q30s that I mentioned. The Q20s do it as well. Like, they're not as good from what I've seen, but they're still reasonable and for the price. Absolutely. I mean, for $40.
Okay. Well, the Q30s here are $79.99.
Yeah. Okay, it's 18.7. Yep.
They don't look as cool, though. They look like a set of Grundigs from the 1970s.
Well, I've got a pair of look at these. Let me get £10. Empower. They're all right though.
40 hours, I mean, playtime.
I think
available any colour you like as long as it's black.
I think so. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Unfortunately, the Anker site just down right now. So.
Yeah, Amazon's only got the black versions, so yeah. On the Q30s, but they've got Q10s in the red, so Not all there. Bad luck.
But you're good.
Cool. Rich, you got a cool thing for us too?
Yeah, I can't remember if I've done Xbox Game Pass for Windows on here before, but if I haven't, that's awesome. I'll just do Humble Choice instead, which is the other good best value for money gaming deal you can get your hands on at the moment. $12 a month, you subscribe at humblebundle.com, which is fun to say quickly. And every month you get to choose from up to 12 games to download on Steam. And if you want to build up a bit of a game library, it's a really good, easy...
And you get to keep them. They don't disappear after that.
No, they don't, not at all. There's always sort of one or two big name games in the bundle that you've heard of and a couple of independent games. What have we had?
Call of Duty Black Ops. Yakuza Kiwami
2 was November. Tropico 6 was October. It was Overcooked 2 in December, which wasn't quite for me. But you have to take the good with the bad sometimes.
NBA.
Black Ops. There's been plenty of... It's definitely worth it overall. You'll save a lot of money on games that you probably want to play. Or some you didn't know you wanted to play. I've discovered quite a few fun games through this purely by ending up on my computer somehow. And at $12 a month, it's just great.
Excellent. Yeah, and that works with any instance of Steam.
Yep. PC, they are PC
all
games.
All PC-based, yeah. So if you've got Mac on Steam, they don't work necessarily, or does...
That I imagine they'll work if you've if there's a Mac version of the game.
It, yeah.
Because you get a Steam key for them, and you just put that in and get it adds it to your library. So, yeah, if there's a Mac version, it'll play it.
Excellent. I can't find my pick now. I had it and I've lost it. It's on the Amazon list.
Professionals.
No, it's gone.
We're such professionals.
I have got a pass of the week, if you fancy that. So I'll find my pick of the week. I'll do this. My pass of the week. So I picked my Project Cars 2 and Assetto Corsa the other week because I've got my driving seat going and it's lovely. I have loads of fun on it. And I love Project Cars 2. There's some really lovely cars to drive in there, really, really good. And I was on Amazon looking for driving games. I saw Project Cars 3 and I'm like, it's been out a while. I get that. I'm a bit late to the game, but never mind. I'll buy it. It's 17 quid. So I bought it and got it here, installed it on my Xbox, set it all up, started to do it, and instantly it throws me into like a Need for Speed / Forza driving thing. And it's like, no, I don't want to do this shit. I want to do the real cars on the real tracks like I did in 2, just with better graphics. And it's not. It's gone to an absolutely horrific arcade kind of driving situation, and it's disgusting. So I'd opened it and put it in. I'm like, holy crap, what am I going to do? So I took it out, put it back in the box, and said to Amazon, can't get it to install, mate. And they went, okay, fine, no problem. They give me a refund.
Have you ever tried any of the F1 games?
Yes, I've got F1 2020, 2019, and 2018. Yeah, I love them.
Me too. I've kind of, played them to death. 86.1 hours on F1 2020.
Have you got a proper driving wheel?
I would love a driving wheel. I don't have one.
No, if you've got the driving wheel, man, that's, and you put it on full simulation, so you've got to do all your own braking and you can lock your brakes up and burn your tyres out and stuff like that. It's nearly impossible to drive the cars. No, it is. It's nearly impossible to drive the cars. I've never actually completed a race in full simulation mode. And the thing that's nice in that is if you slide, you're like, oh no, I've overcooked that, I've lost the grip, and you start skidding out across, you can't stop yourself. You're on the gravel, you just like, and you get to the far side and the wheel bends over onto the nose and you're kind of like, yeah, that's the end of that. The simulation of the damage is absolutely perfect. It's brilliant. I absolutely love it. But like I say, you've got to have driving aids on that. I cannot drive those vehicles without driving aids on. It's... If you can, you are superhuman. And the guys that drive these things for a living, and they go to the limit to find the limit of the grip to get the last hundredth of a second out of a lap, I'm not worthy. They earn their money. God, they earn their money.
Yeah, they're the people I watch that I know I could not do what they do. No. And no amount of training could ever make that happen. Yeah. Ever.
I mean, I love the project car stuff that I've got, and the particularly a set of Corsa. You'll go and have a go in a 1967 Ferrari 312B or something, and you'll hair off down the main straight at Monza, get to the chicane and put your foot on the brake, and you're like, holy crap, there's no frigging brakes on this thing. And of course, the real car had no frigging brakes on it. It was crap. The brakes were shit in the 1960s. So you have to start learning then to pick your braking point. And whilst braking, you have to try and double declutch the car to use engine braking. Otherwise, you never stop for the corner. But the cars that you're racing against, they're doing the technique, and they're really standing them up on their nose using engine braking. And I can't double declutch properly at the moment. I can rev it and I can go down, but I need to learn how to double declutch. I've got to find a YouTube video on that, because you raise the revs, and then you get more engine braking when you go back on off the clutch.
I can teach you that, because I got trained by the police to do it.
Oh, yeah. That's when
it's about matching your revs to the engine speed, and then when you change gear, your revs have got to be the same as what it would be. So when you change, it's smooth. Because I remember having to drive about 15 miles to get it sorted, and every time I got it wrong, I got hit with a ruler on my hand. Yeah. And you soon learn then. So if you do have an advanced course,
I pay 50 quid an hour for that. Teach that. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Muller?
I'm on Muller Biker on Twitter, although I don't go there very much these days because it's just a pile of shite. I'm in the Slack room and on Facebook, if you really care.
Ramesh Ranganathan gave up his Twitter account. I don't particularly find him that funny, but he just said, this is not the place I signed up for. It's horrific now, and I'm gone. This is my last ever tweet, and that's it. He's done. He's gone.
I don't blame him. I don't really look at it these days. It's
I'm really pointless. Close. The bilious political twat that's on there is just horrific. Are we gone?
It's either pro-Trump or anti-Trump, and it's just like...
It's not even just Trump. It's just people poisonous. Just putting stuff and slagging people off and from the cheap seats, and they really are in very, very cheap seats. They can't hold a job down, and they still feel the need to put something in. Jeffrey, where would you be?
You can find me right where Mueller doesn't want to go, which is Twitter. I'm Jay Gamut there and Instagram. And I did post a photo yesterday that is very much not in the vitriol and bile camp. There's a whole new meme that started yesterday. It's the cold Bernie Sanders meme.
Yeah, no, yeah. I saw that picture. Have you seen awesome. The one of him at Yalta?
Uh-huh. Yes.
The one at Yalta is superb.
Yeah, and I came up with another one that I'll make after the show. But the one that I did yesterday, yeah, it was the Star Wars one where he's in the X-Wing cockpit. I actually had to put effort into that because the only X-Wing cockpit photo I could find without someone sitting in the seat already, it was this really light background behind it. So it looked weird. So I actually had to cut out the background so I could put a Starfield in. That's the level of dedication that I have for stuff like this.
Oh, my gosh.
I've got a Maverick cockpit for you.
Oh, yeah. Send me the image. I'll put Bernie in it.
It's a blank. It's just a blank cockpit. Yeah.
The funniest thing I saw about that was someone said on Twitter, I think right after he was on screen, he said he looked like he just stopped by on his way to Walgreens.
Yes. Yep.
The thing that got me was that they put someone got on their high horse and they said, the name of the photographer who took the original picture is such and such. If you're going to start doing memes with this, at least give him the credit. I'm like, yeah, that's going to happen. This thing's got a million versions of it up within an hour.
Yep.
I'm a photographer. I believe in copyright, but that you're never going to control that.
No.
Thanks to the dude who showed
it. It's good to know who it is. Like, nice to know, but no one's going to do it.
Yeah, and hopefully you'll get some coverage. You'll go on to the Today Show or something like that and go, oh yeah, I'm the guy that shot the picture that went viral.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably will do when he goes to Twitter and tries to get some royalty off it or something. Best of luck with that, mate. Patrice, where would you be?
Well, I'm here every week on The Big Show and on The Make Show. Everything I do is on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback, and I hope I can post either today or tomorrow Brett's episode.
Good.
Like, just taking a little while to do the copywriting.
Okay. Jolly good. And Rich, where will you be?
You can find me on YouTube at earlymorningbarking.com or at barking on Twitter, but I don't also really go there much anymore. Earlymorningbarking.com. There you go.
Yeah, it's a sad place. It's a sad, sad place. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. We're going to be back again next Thursday for the Big Show at 7 p.m. Come join us live on our nearly instant fast streaming service now. It's real time almost. So about when should we shout the questions out, come the Christmas quiz and tell him everyone the answer. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.